Well, good morning to each and every one of you. So glad that you are here on this special day as we celebrate Jesus, celebrate the journey of faith that God has each and every one of us on. I invite you to turn your scriptures to the book of Matthew. We've been on a journey to understand Christ better, to understand His kingdom reality better. We've been looking for a few weeks now at Jesus' first sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He gathered a crowd of some of the outcasts of the world, the diseased, the paralyzed, the demonized, those who had nothing, who were the down and outers. He gathered them, they listened to him, and he told them about the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, tell us about your kingdom today. We're men and women in need of your kingdom today. Speak to us the reality of your rule, of your lordship, and our need to surrender to you. Thank you for your word of instruction. Thank you for this first sermon of yours that opened eyes to the reality of who you are and who you are to be in an ever ongoing relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look in your scriptures with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 19. We did jump a little bit ahead in our study of the Sermon on the Mount because of Confirmation Sunday today. I want to have you look at four little teachings that Jesus gave, but they're all with the same message. Four little paragraphs giving us the message of Christ about the kingdom of God and the people who live in the kingdom. Are you a member of the kingdom of God? If so, this should resonate with you. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Jesus is speaking and he says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And the fourth, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own." Four times the Lord Jesus Christ is making a point to us. He's drawing a distinction between one way of life and another, between one pursuit and another. And he's revealing the reality that his kingdom is filled with people who have changed their priorities, changed their focus, who are now looking to God. And the things of the world, the things that surround them, the things that seemed important at one time and are important to the unbelievers of the world now have faded in comparison to the importance that kingdom people put on the things of God. So the question for us all is, are we kingdom people, first and foremost? And then if we are kingdom people, are we pursuing God? Are we making that the reality of our day-to-day experience? Now, I chose this text for Ella and Cody and Ryan and Daniel because they are on the launch pad of their adult Christian life. And as such, they've got decisions to be made starting today about what they're going to focus on. And each and every one of us have decisions each day of what we're going to be focusing on. Is it going to be the things of God or the things of earth? Now, let's be honest right up front. There are things on the earth that God ordained, that God created, that God has given us. And so we're not saying that all earthly things are bad, but we are saying that there is a change of focus as to what's most important in the lives of a true kingdom person. It's going to talk about wealth, and we're not going to say that money in itself is bad, but what we are going to say, and what Jesus has said, is that if money is your focus, then that has become your God. But if God is your focus, then money simply becomes a tool in the hands of a kingdom person to build the kingdom and extend the kingdom. What is it that God is wanting you to take away from this scripture today? Why did he say these words? Why are they important for young people launching their Christian faith? Why are they important for each and every one of us today? It began by saying, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. And it's easy to do. It's easy to think about how we've got to sock away, we've got to save up and store away provisions for the uncertainties of the future. But if that becomes the focus, if that becomes the priority, if that becomes the thing that all of one's trust is put in, that is the very thing that will rip out of a person their love for Christ. If you're trusting in provision that you can accumulate on earth, you're trusting in something that's fleeting. People in ancient times had a hard time keeping their stuff intact. Moths were pests that would destroy clothing. The second word is actually an interesting word. It simply means eating, the things that come and eat. And so some translators have translated it rust, as rust is that oxidation process that eats away metal. Other translators have translated that word eating as the vermin, the pests, the mice, the rats, the things that ate a person's grain. And the last one, of course, is pretty obvious, thieves that break in and steal. The things that meant for wealth in the ancient world, whether it was articles of clothing or storehouses of dried grains or bars of gold or precious metal, those are all things that can quickly be lost. It was a battle to keep those things intact in ancient days. That battle to keep possessions intact can sap one's strength, cause one to be looking at themselves and the necessities of day-to-day life and overlook the realities of God. So what does Jesus say? Don't be that way. Instead, be a person that's storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What an odd phrase, isn't that? How do you store up treasures in heaven? None of us have been there yet. We're citizens of there. We'll one day be there forever if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and given him our life. But we're not there yet. So how do you send treasures ahead? How do you do the things of God here on this earth that result in blessings forever? You know, Jesus said that even offering a glass of cool water to a person in need results in heavenly reward. Think about how simple that is. Just want to remind Lisa of the many times that she has seen me struggling with a little catch in my throat and brought me a glass of water as I'm preaching. Heavenly rewards are yours. Did you realize that? The simplest things done for Christ result in treasures in heaven. Raising kids results in treasures in heaven. When you raise your sons or your daughters so that faith becomes something that's attractive to them, as you worship in front of them so they say they want to worship, as you serve your little ones, you're building up treasures in heaven. My wife and I had the privilege of being parents of a junior in high school. Therefore, it falls upon the junior's parents to put on prom and after prom. So we're tired. Why do we do that? Because by serving our own children and the children of our community in a way that creates a safe place for them, you're actually building up treasures in heaven. That makes it a little easier to stand there and endure hours of watching kids play games and do activities. You do things for God. You do them here on the earth, because that's where we live, but you do them with a mindset of what extends the kingdom of heaven, what extends God's rule, what extends God's fame. So it's not saying that wealth is bad. It's saying that focusing on wealth and trying to focus on building up treasures here is bad. Instead, God is saying, let the things you have be used for heavenly reward. You can be amassing treasures in heaven. Young people, how many of you have a savings account? And how big is it? Is it huge yet? And maybe it will never be huge. But just as adults start savings accounts and checking accounts and banking accounts, and that is necessity for life here on this world, so we must be continually thinking about a heavenly bank account. Doing things for the glory of God here and now. The second paragraph is really the same message, but at first it appears a little odd. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. The ancients believed that the eyes and the ears were the windows to the soul. And they believed that it's the things that the eyes focused on that resulted in the internal parts of the heart and the soul being either good or bad. One way of translating that word bad, which is used to describe an eye, is being twofold. Isn't that interesting? Twofold. It's saying that an eye that's looking here and there is not right. An eye that's looking at that thing, but then also at that thing, and then back at that thing, and back at that thing. It's not talking about being cross-eyed, which some of us struggle with, but it's talking about having two focuses, two areas of life that we're looking at, and it's right after this one where it's talking about looking at heavenly possessions or earthly possessions. So really, it's the same thing. Are you looking for things that count towards eternity, or are you focusing on things on the earth? It's clarified even further in the third paragraph, where it's talking about two masters. Two masters. You cannot serve God and money, or it's really an ancient word there, God and mammon. But you can't focus on both of those things and be effective. You can only focus on one. Are you going to serve money? Are you going to serve things that bring security? Are you going to serve things that are valued in this planet, on this world, in this culture? Or are you going to focus on serving God? When you serve God, money then becomes a tool in your service towards God. People who are stingy are usually miserable. People who receive a blessing and see it as a gift from God to be used for God's glory and are generous with it are usually the happiest people. And what about time? You're all given time. How do you use that time? Young people, I know that as of now, only one of you has been on a missions trip. It's our goal as a congregation that every one of our young people will experience a missions trip before they graduate from high school. So I hope and pray that becomes reality for each of you. One of the things I'd like you to think about, young people, is how the people who return from a missions trip talk and act. We have the privilege as a congregation to partner with an orphanage down in Costa Rica and in Guatemala. And it's thrilling to listen to the people who return from there. They are ecstatic about how they got to be used by God in the lives of little ones and staff members at those orphanages. Now, they got to see cultural differences, and that's great value there. They got to do projects, and there's great value there. But the thing that is the main value behind it is that they got to experience being servants of others. They used their time, their resources, money to take the trip and to pay for the expenses of the trip, and oftentimes to bring things down to the orphanage and bring supplies. The sacrifice of things that could be spent on self and the giving it to others who are less fortunate brings great blessing on those who do so. If you're serving money, you'll hoard it, and you'll miss out on all the opportunities to be God's agents. Choose today who you will serve, God or money. And the last one, again, is the same thing. It's two pursuits. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the worries about your life, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, what you'll eat? And he contrasts that type of life with birds and lilies of the field. Birds that seem to have no worries, except the one that hit my window this past week, or lilies of the field that are beautiful beyond our comprehension, testimony to the creative genius of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things remind us that God takes care of His own. And we can be people who are not worrying about life, but who are trusting God. How does he contrast it? Instead of worrying about life, he says this in verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That should be a motto for each and every one of us. Young people, write that one down on a piece of paper and put that on your mirror. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. His righteousness is His perfection, His purity, His glory. It's something we need to receive from Him. You become a follower of Jesus Christ and a saved person when you receive His righteousness. But also His righteousness refers to how we live out that right living and right relationships in the world around us. As we pursue His righteousness, we become His agents and we're the extenders of His kingdom. His kingdom. We live as counter agents in a secular society. We might live in a world that's got its set of priorities, but we're living here as counter agents trying to extend the kingdom of God in the midst of it. Not everyone you see is part of the kingdom, but as you live out your kingdom reality in the midst of them, you are influencing the culture. You're influencing the people around you. You're extending the kingdom of God by your pursuit of God, by your living out of the generosity of God, by your using the things He's given you, whether it's resources or time, to bless others. You're seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And as a result, Jesus says this promise to you. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and that's a big word, and all these things will be given to you as well. He just got done talking about people worrying about what they'll eat or what they'll drink or what they'll wear. He says, don't focus on those. Focus on the kingdom and God's righteousness, and God's going to take care of you. In fact, all those other things that you stopped worrying about, He's going to meet your needs in those areas. God knows how to take care of His people. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear. Put that into God's hands. He takes care of it for us. That doesn't mean we abdicate our responsibilities to be productive members of our community. It doesn't mean you stop going to work if God has given you a job. It doesn't mean you stop putting seed in the ground if God's giving you acreage. It does mean that you do those tasks with a recognition that you're doing it as a servant of Christ. You're doing your job, you're ministering in the community, you're receiving an income so that you can be kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, righteousness-extending, kingdom-extending people. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Instead, trust God. Trust God. So may it be your motto as you leave here today to be a kingdom-minded person, an extender of God's kingdom, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, laying up treasures in heaven, letting your eyes be focused on Him, purely focused on Him, not diverted back and forth to the things of the world and the things of heaven, and not letting money become a master, not letting your possessions become a master, but letting God truly be God in your life and in your day-to-day existence. Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it God's plan for you, God's will for you? Would the Holy Spirit of God want to enable you to live this way? Let's pray and express our reliance upon Him and let this become our reality. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for these words that painted the picture of Your kingdom. Let us live this out. Let us be men and women who have our eyes on You, our focus on You. Let us be men and women who pursue You. Thank You for the provisions You give us. Thank You for the food and the drink and the clothes. Thank You for the things that You provide so that we can continue to exist. But Lord, we receive those with gratitude, with thanksgiving. And we receive them as gifts from You that can be used in a way that brings You glory as we minister to our family, our friends, our community. Bless us, Lord, with the stuff of life so that we can use the stuff of life to extend Your fame. Use us, Lord, to paint a picture of what it looks like to be a man or a woman who's made You the priority. Give us pure eyes, Lord, eyes focused on You. And Lord, this amazing thing of building treasure in heaven, help us to do that. Help us to treasure the things that You treasure so that our treasures really are the things of heaven. We pray all this in the amazing name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who served us by dying for us. We put our faith in You, our trust in You. We put our day-to-day existence in Your hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.